Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you're committed to growing your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You get all of my best stuff for free for owners who want more out of their cleaning business and more out of their life. Today, we are chatting with Zohar Rangel from Merrymon. Merrymon serves a Salt Lake City area. I don't know why, but that's hard. Salt Lake City area with a specialty in construction cleanup. When you want to reach out to Zohar and his team, you can get a hold of him at Merrymon, Merrimon at gmail.com. Zohar, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing?
I am so excited to have you, brother. And just so you know, it's a one-way conversation. They can't speak back, but I'm hoping they're doing fine. That said, tell me a little bit about you. How'd you get into the business and what, give us a little bit of history, my friend.
So a little bit of my background was that this business has been open, it's been in business for almost 3 years. And my brother-in-law actually started this business, but about three months ago, we made a deal and I'm taking over. So that's a little bit of where I come from. And Merrymon, like Mike said, is a post-construction cleaning company that focuses on leaving the houses clean and ready for the new owners.
Okay, so in the intro, we said that you focus on construction cleanup for residential, like move-in, move-out type stuff?
Correct, yeah, that's right, Mike.
Okay, perfect. So when you bought it, does your company have any employees, or you kind of just buy the accounts that you do yourself?
Basically, I bought 2 accounts and that's it. And since then I only have 3 employees, but they're part-time.
Sure. So are you to the point where you're able to just do the management of the company, or are you having to do part-time managing and growing and part-time cleaning yourself?
I definitely have to do part-time cleaning myself, and I would really like it to get to the point where I can only focus on management and marketing and growing this business.
You are wise beyond your years, my friend. That's a great position to take. And that's what I coach a lot of my people to do, is we got to transition as soon as possible out of anytime you're cleaning a toilet or taking out the trash or vacuuming or doing whatever you're doing, nobody is running the company. So that's mm-hmm. awesome. I'm glad that you've got that vision. I'm glad that you've got some employees to help you already. That's cool. So I'm excited to help you walk through this journey. So I'm sure you get asked this 100 times and you're probably bored of answering it, but I can't leave my listeners out in the cold. Where on God's green earth did you get the coolest name ever? And how did you become Zohar? Are you like a superhero or what?
I wish, Mike, but, that name, my mother just came up with it. And she named me Zohar. And since then I've been okay with it. Nothing wrong with that, except that it's hard for people to pronounce at first because they haven't heard it a lot. But once I get it right, and everyone's happy.
See, to me, that's way too much pressure. Like when I'm coming and someone's expecting me to mic, who knows? I could be anything, good, bad, or different. Whatever, it's fine. But if my name was Zohar, I'd feel like people would expect kind of a lot. Like you don't just go around with a name like Zohar and not be a pretty solid dude. Is that just me? Am I putting too much pressure on you?
Yeah.
Sorry. No, that's
totally correct.
I just called it like I see. All right, cool. Well, enough busting your chops over your name. Thank you for being a guest. Let's talk about how we can help you grow your company today, brother.
So, Mike, like I said, I'm just starting up, and I would like to know what steps should a person in my case should take or can take in order to have a solid foundation as I'm starting into this industry. What are some things that I should do, and what some other things that I shouldn't focus on so much that aren't really important that could take away from me?
Perfect. I'd love that question because I know a lot of Cleaning Nation out there is in that kind of 0 to 5 employees situation. And there's a lot of how do I take this thing to the next level? So I'm excited about that. And I love the one piece of your question that you asked that very few do is, yeah, sure, tell me what to do. That's always helpful. But equally important, sometimes more important, tell me what not to do. So many times people get caught up in nonsense and they just spin their wheels and spin their wheels and they don't know where they're not growing. So let's dive in. I'm excited to talk to you. So the first thing I'm going to tell you and everybody out there listening is you've got to actually do this, right? Because a lot of times I give people this feedback and they kind of get this, I've heard that before, I know that, that makes sense. But then I say, okay, great, talk about let's show me all the stuff that you've done in this area since you already know about this. Let's see some, you know, tell me what you've done. Oh, well, I haven't done any of it. So it's very similar to you go to the gym or you go to the trainer, or you buy the latest book on, you know, how to lose weight and all that nonsense. And they say, well, move more and eat less or eat better quality food. And you go, I know that, but you're still a fat mess, right? So it's not the knowing that does it. It's the doing. So first of all, I'm going to tell you just really solid, basic, foundational business principles that you may have heard before. Some of it I'll have a little bit of a twist on, but a lot of it's going to be common sense. So just I encourage you, both Zohar and Genius or Cleaning Nation out there, don't kind of fall for the, oh, I know that, I get it, and then kind of think you're going to get skinny or grow your business just by knowing it. Because knowing it does you zero good. You've actually got to do it. Okay. So first and foremost, and honestly, I'm excited for you, Zohar, because a lot of times I work with larger companies that are really established. They've got 30, 40 employees, and it's to turn that ship just takes longer. It's harder. They've got a lot of kind of, you know, it's almost like as a coach, you'd rather work with, if you're a golf coach, you'd rather work with a guy that's never played golf, so he doesn't have any bad habits, than a guy that's played for 10 years and you're trying to fix this thing. So you have no bad habits, dude. We can just jump right in and start rocking your world. So that said, thing one, pick a niche. That is so important, and nobody wants to do it, especially the new people. They figure, well, the more people I can access, I need all these customers. And if I do residential and commercial and construction cleanup and carpets and floors, these are all opportunities. And the more I do, the more opportunities I'll have to grow. And they find themselves just dabbling in all of those things. Or, oh my gosh, one customer wanted windows, so I did that. And then another customer wanted me to clean his vents or his ducts, so I did that. And then there's a design. Mm-hmm. And they're never any damn good at any of it, right? So the first and foremost thing, pick a niche. And you're going to pick that two ways. One, the type of work that you do, right? And construction cleanup, nothing against it, but generally, just so you know, I don't generally coach my clients to build businesses on construction cleanup. I use that as ancillary business if it makes sense and if there's some synergy on top of their main business, which would be like janitorial or residential. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that's one thing that I'm not sure if post construction cleaning might be the right industry for me, or if I should focus in going into commercial cleaning. I don't know. What do you think it should be? What's better?
Yeah, and let me preface by it's not like I'm going to, you know, give you the right, like God whispered in my ear the right answer and I'm going to share it with you. This is just this part's my opinion. There's money to be made in lots of different phases of the cleaning business. Mm-hmm. But having owned a car dealership and a construction company and a cleaning business, a service master franchise, and a couple of things in between, my druthers or what I prefer in any business I attempt or go into is I really like recurring revenue. I really like. And commercial cleaning is awesome, right? Because if you sell a guy for $1,000 or a contract for $1,000 a month, you know that that's coming in. You don't have to go sell that again next month or the month after. And it's not like next month it's going to be $2,000 and the month after that $300. And it's just that wreaks havoc with cash flow. So anytime in any business, cleaning or otherwise, I can get a recurring revenue where I know, hey, my expenses are $50,000 every month, but I've got $58,000 of contracts already. You know, maybe I lose a couple, maybe I gain a couple, but I'm not, you know, like a car dealership, you know, every month we started with zero. I'd have a huge overhead to open the doors every day. But you know, sometimes you don't break even and sell enough cars or make enough profit till the 20th or sometimes the 30th, right? Or sometimes you never make it, you lose money. Yeah. So I really like recurring revenue. And I think commercial cleaning is a good example of that. Residential cleaning's good. It's just smaller. And construction cleanup, you still have, customers that do that, but it's up and down, right? It's not like they give you exactly 17 houses a month, right?
Yeah, that sounds correct, Mike.
Okay. So again, not the right answer, wrong answer, just my experience of being in a lot of business, what I prefer. And not that you can't make money in construction cleanup. I'm just lazy. Let's go the easiest way to get me from where I'm at to where I want to be. And recurring income is that. So you're going to pick a niche twice. Once, really, first and foremost, you're going to pick your customer. That's so key. And here's the secret that nobody does. And some people say they get it, but then they go act totally differently. That's why I'm hammering that you got to do this. So this is such a simple formula. You can write it down. If you just do it, you'll be ahead of 90% of other businesses out there, even larger businesses than where you're at. Pick your customer. Okay. Know your customer. Know their pain. Know their passion. Know what gets them excited. Know what they're afraid of. Know what's important to them. Know all that stuff. Here comes the magic, and it's so simple, people miss it. Ask them what they want and do that. So many people are like, I want to do whatever, fill in the blank. I want to do floors and carpets, or I want to do whatever the case may be, commercial cleaning, or I want to do this, or like when you come to unique selling propositions, what you offer that other companies don't. Well, I want to be green, or I want my employees to be the best looking, or here's my least favorite. I say favorite, so making fun of it. We clean better than anybody else. Well, find out what your customer wants, and if they want you to truly clean better than everybody else, and just trust me, they'll all say that. When you say to your customer, what do you want? They'll be like, oh, I want the most cleaning, the best cleaning for the cheapest price. But you want to change that conversation and get into, why is that important? How does it affect you? So we'll take construction cleanup, right? Are you dealing with home builders or people that rent homes?
It's mostly the ideal customer are home builders, contractors.
So when you talk to home builders and I just want to tell you this so you don't do it and go, I tried it and it didn't work. When you talk to home builders, you go, what do you want? They go, well, I just want you to clean it so that my new customer's happy and I want it as cheap as possible, right? They're all going to say that.
Right.
So people get out there and they start saying, well, I'm going to be as cheap as possible and clean, clean better than anybody else. But that's not really what they want. You got to have a better conversation with that guy or gal and say, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of my customers want that. Tell me about that. Why is it important for it to be cheap? How does that come into your budget? And then find out, do they really care about money? Maybe they're like, I just sold this house for $300,000. It's really more important for me for this customer to love me so I can get a good review on Yelp or whatever the case might be. I'm sure, I don't know if new home builders use Yelp, but I'm sure there's a community where people leave reviews. We just really want them to be happy and not complain. So now you could say, hey, well, that's what my customer wants. And maybe we'll do a thing where you take some pictures or do a video or do some extra service where you provide it to the customer and show them, oh my gosh, I feel really welcome. Or maybe you're like, hey, part of our service is we put together a little $20 welcome basket for the new tenants because we want them to, and we say it's from you because we want them to feel special. Now I'm totally making this stuff up. But you see the difference between what's really important to your home builder. And think about it. He just sold a $300,000 home that took him 9 months to build and 20 different subcontractors and on and on and on. Whether you charge him $300 to do the construction cleanup or $400 really isn't his pain, right? He's got a bigger pain that his product is good and his customers are good. So do you see how that conversation is very different than just give me the cheapest price and do the best cleaning?
Yes, I can totally see. And that's actually a great example because I think everyone tells me they want the cheapest price and the best job done. But what I have ambition for my company is bringing the biggest, we want to be valuable to our customers, meaning that as soon as they hire us for cleaning, their company becomes that much better just because they have an awesome cleaning company to do the job at the end.
Man, Cleaning Nation, do not miss what Zohar just said. That is, dude, I don't know how long you've been in business, my friend, but that's the key. So many of us go into business and I'll say why, and they'll say, well, I want to make more money. I want to send my kids to a better school. I want to have financial security. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But when your customer asks you why you're in business, that may not be the best thing to share, right? There's got to be some value behind it. And we all pick cleaning for a reason. So I love, Zohar, what you said is, I want to make sure that my customers are better off for dealing with me, for having me as a vendor, for interacting with me. And I think it was Zig Ziglar. I'm not sure who said it. I think it was Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough other people get what they want in life, you will always have everything that you want. And so many of us go to customers with, what can I get out of you? How can you serve me? And it's an uphill climb. But when you go to customers and say, how can I serve you? What do you want to get out of life? How can I make your life better, happier, easier, faster, more joyful? You start there, Zohan. Mm-hmm. You've already got a really good foundation. So back to the formula. Pick a niche. Know your customer. Mm-hmm. Ask them what they want. And then sell it to them. It's so much easier to sell them what you know they want than decide you need carpet cleaner, you need the best cleaners ever, you need green team, or you need more insurance, or you need whatever the heck you think they need. That's hard to jam that down their throat. But it's very easy once they've told you what they want to go back and give that to them. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Cool. Second, I love starting with new customers because they're clients, you know, owners of cleaning companies. Set aside a client acquisition budget and stick with it. If you're just starting out and you're kind of in a hybrid because your company's been around for 3 years, but you just got there, so you're a bit of a hybrid. But
yeah.
Ideally, you've got, I don't want to say a pile of money, but some money set aside to test and find your client acquisition strategies, because that's really your customer list and your systems in place, especially systems around acquiring customers, are really the core of the value of your company. So you're going to want to invest in that early. So if you've got a budget of a couple $1,000, mm-hmm. $5,000 or $10,000, some money that you can say that's earmarked to create these systems, because they're more expensive at the beginning, right? When you first are trying, you don't know what you're doing, so it's more expensive than all work. So ideally have that. And if not, at the bare minimum, you set aside a fixed percentage of your income every month for client acquisition. And I don't care, and I don't think this is used so hard, but Cleaning Nation, if you've got one client for $600 a month, then by golly, now's your chance to put aside $60 a month for client acquisition. And make sure you spend that money on, make sure you spend it. So that forces you. And again, if you're doing $10,000 a month, then it's $1,000 a month set aside for client acquisition. If it's $100,000 a month, it's $10,000 set aside from client acquisition. And that forces you to think about how strategically how you're going to acquire customers, because you've got this budget you need to spend on it. So first, know your customer, ask them what they want and sell it to them. Second, set aside a client acquisition budget right from the beginning. I like 10% of your total sales, but you can make it higher or lower depending on what you want. Third, and you're halfway there being on this call, Zohan, is finding a mentor that has done it. You definitely want to find someone that's living. And this works just like we talked about earlier with health. If you're fat and you want to be skinny, don't hire a fat trainer. Hire a trainer that looks and feels the way you want to feel. You know, and maybe he sucks at business. Only look at him for training. But, you know, if you want to have a $1 million cleaning business, find a guy or a gal that's built a business that you would be proud to own, that you'd like to emulate, and come alongside them and see if they'll invest in you. So that's the next thing. The last thing, I want to sum all this up, and we got to go because I'm way behind, is nothing happens until somebody makes a sale. So the biggest thing to focus on, once you find your customer, ask them what they want, you got to go sell it to them. And there's a lot of sophisticated ways you can do it with social media and websites and online and offline and direct mail. There's a billion ways to do it. But the first, second, third, fourth one is just knock on doors, talk to customers. And guess what? If you interview enough customers about, hey, what it is that you want, what's important to you when hiring a cleaning company, I promise you, do 20 of those interviews face-to-face, you'll get 2 or 3 jobs right off the bat. So just kind of go out there and get it done. Not that we can't build you into some more sophisticated systems, but you want to know right off the bat a lot of data from your customer. So, and the way to do that is eyeball to eyeball, belly to belly, talking human to human. So that's on the to do. And I'm going to run through the not to do real quick because we're running out of time and I want to hit the lightning round.
Sure.
A lot of people waste so much time spinning their wheels with stuff like logo and office space, and even the website or social media. And I'm not saying any of those are bad things or not important, but nothing happens until you make a sale. If you have no employees or you're spending half your time cleaning and half your time whatever, those things are step 2 or 3 or 4. I remember I sold my construction company for 7 figures. This guy gave me over $1 million to own this company. And part of the deal is I had to stick around for like 2 months to help him, you know, figure out, which is great because I really want to see the company succeed. I'll be danged if the guy didn't spend the first month and a half fooling with his logo and changing the name and just doing all this crap that made zero difference. And I kept telling him, hey man, you know, I don't want to bore you guys with the details, but there was 2 or 3 key things that were really important for him to be focused on. And he was not interested in that. He paid me all this money to basically show him my money-making system of how this little company made a ton of money. And I tried to tell him he wasn't interested. He wanted to fool with the logo and all other sorts of nonsense. So I think just the key that you brought up, Zohar, is it's as important to focus on the things that are important. It's as important to not focus on things or ignore things that are going to waste your time as it is to focus on the important stuff. And from the little we've spoken, Zohar, you're doing a really good job. So let me encourage you right off the bat. You sound better than most. Okay, enough of me ranting. It's time for Zohar to give back and contribute to Cleaning Nation. We're going to do the lightning round. 3 easy questions, 3 genius answers. Question 1, Zohar, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I ever received or read. It's whatever the mind can believe and conceive, the mind can achieve. And I believe that was a quote by Napoleon Hill. And that's something that I actually really believe in. If you can think about it and if it's real in your mind, you will start doing the things physically to make it physically real also.
Couldn't agree more, Zohar. I also believe that's Napoleon Hill, and I think it was Think and Grow Rich. So if you're looking for a fantastic read that's about 80 years old, but still solid as a rock, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business? So we can all, and you've only been for a little bit, so I'm excited to hear this.
Mm-hmm. So the biggest mistake I personally made was having an opportunity to talk to the decision maker at a job site and waiting because I wasn't ready at the time. So not going for it, waiting because my logo wasn't complete or my business cards weren't as good as I wanted to be. So I missed the opportunity to talk to him and put it off. And the next time I saw him, he already had a cleaning company servicing his building. So that was a lesson earned that I had to, that I learned from.
Definitely. Man, Cleaning Nation, that's a really, really good lesson. A lot of times we'll say things like, oh, I'm a perfectionist, but what we really mean is I'm a procrastinator. So thank you for sharing that, Zohar. I wish I could say I've never fallen for that, but I've been in your boots, and definitely a job started is half done. And if you just want to wait till everything's perfect, you're going to be waiting forever. Okay, question three. What's one idea owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today before they go to bed to improve their lives and or their businesses?
So something you can do today that I try to do every as often as possible is looking for ways to better your service. For example, what different chemicals or procedure you can use that will bring value to your company. And there's a lot of ideas out there on the internet about people who have cleaning businesses, or finding mentors, finding people to help you out and not doing nothing for one day. Just there's always something you can do.
Man, I could not agree more. Zohar, thank you so much for joining us. You've absolutely lived up to your name. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Zohar's show notes page and discover everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company, like I said, all my best free stuff is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I'll respond to every one of them, and I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.